Welcome back to Inside on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. For those who enjoy the Christmas spirit over the holidays, the star of the tradition is usually a tree, whether a fir, spruce, or pine. Getting the tree is usually an exciting time. It sets into motion this festive anticipation until Christmas Day, but usually the 26th sets into motion an expiration date. Now, it's up for debate, but generally Christmas trees and lights usually stay up until January 6th. That's this weekend, 12 days after Christmas. And you may be wondering what to do with your tree, how to get rid of it. Well, you can recycle it for free, but the rules vary from one city or county to the next. Cap Radio environment reporter Manolo Sakaira joins us with some advice on how to recycle a Christmas tree. And while we're on the theme of organic waste, Manolo also has an update on California's composting mandate that went into effect a year ago. This year brings a change to composting. Residents can be fined for not complying with the mandatory composting requirement, but that option is up to local officials. Hey, Manola.
Hey, Vicky.
Okay, so let's just get to the Christmas trees. You know, when you want to recycle or compost it, what should residents do with their trees?
Yeah, so most cities have different services that they offer. In the city of Sacramento, if you're a leaf season recipient of that leaf season service,
the big claw,
then you can get your trees picked up by just leaving them on your leaf pile. So it's pretty simple. But like I mentioned, it kind of varies. And there's also different restrictions that vary from city to city. So, for example, in the city of Sacramento, you can recycle flocked trees, which I learned is the term for those trees that have the fake snow sprayed all over them.
Yeah.
Those trees can be recycled in the city of Sacramento, but in other places like West Sacramento, you can't recycle those trees. I'm assuming it's just different technology to handle them. So it really depends on where you are. And the number one thing that you should do if you want to recycle your tree is just look up the requirements based on where you live, because there's just so much variation. But likely your city offers something, is what I can say.
Right. Well, there's also like a new change last year was really like composting, and that, you know, California, this was in 2022, but last year was the first full year it implemented these new requirements for recycling organic waste. That also includes our areas like Sacramento. So remind us about the intention behind the mandate and what the intended goals are.
Right. So the basic timeline, like you mentioned, is that in 2022, California's mandate requiring residents to recycle organic waste, which we then turn into compost, went into effect. And then last year was the first full year of that law being implemented. And when California originally passed that law, we were the first in the country to pass a statewide mandate to separate organic food waste from other trash. So it was a pretty big deal. And it also required most cities in the state to start this composting program on a pretty short timeline. So that meant figuring out how to, you know, gather that organic waste, and then also how to scale up our facilities to process all that new composting material. So it's been a complicated process for a lot of places. And then the goal of this mandate is to be part of California's climate goals in general. So, you know, reducing the methane that comes from rotting food in landfills. It's a powerful greenhouse gas. And the law hopes to curb those emissions and reduce food waste in landfills by 75% within the first 2 years, which we're kind of approaching at this point.
I would imagine there's like a big learning curve to this, you know, for myself included. I mean, even like in our newsroom, like we have the different bins and there's like a sign like this stuff goes in this bin and this stuff goes in this bin. So what's happened in, you know, the year plus since this actually has been enacted?
Exactly. It's not super intuitive for everyone, especially if you haven't lived in a place where this is required or you haven't, you know, been interested in doing this before. So what city officials have done is mostly focus on education. You know, like you mentioned at the beginning, in this year, in 2024, California municipalities will have the option to fine residents who aren't complying with this mandate. But from all the local officials I talked to, it seems like the priority is education, and it's likely to stay that way for the foreseeable future. One person I talked to was Matt Robinson, who's a spokesperson for Sacramento County. They collect organic waste from anyone living in unincorporated areas. And he told me what many of the other people told me that I talked to for this story, which is that he doesn't have any plans to implement fines. They don't have a framework even of what that would look like, because right now he feels like the most effective way of getting people on board is education. And that just means, you know, getting people to know how to use their bin, how to use it in ways that aren't a nuisance. But yeah, it doesn't seem like fining is where they want to go with that right now.
Because essentially it's like a third bin, right? Because you have one for recycling, you have one obviously for waste, and then you have one that would go into composting.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, and that might seem straightforward, but there's some issues that people have with that inevitably. And it seems pretty straightforward from one person that I spoke to. Her name is Marissa Jeweler, the director of the Integrated Waste Management Division at the Yule County Central Landfill. Kind of a mouthful. She toured me around the facility, and I got to see the whole process of how they compost. And, you know, of course, there are things that people may have accidentally put in there or have gotten in their bin for some other way. Like she mentioned, finding shoes and toys. But that's not even the main issue. So if you're listening to this and wondering, oh no, like if I'm putting eggshells in and I'm not sure if that's supposed to be in, is that going to get me in trouble later? I really don't think that's what people are focusing on right now. What Marissa told me is that there are a lot of people that just aren't participating in the program at all. So that doesn't mean even doing anything incorrectly, but that just means people who aren't using their green bins.
They're still throwing it all in the trash. And so I could be wrong for other counties, but I would say that we're just kind of in this infancy stage where folks are still just not on board.
And there's a variety of reasons for why someone might not be participating. And she told me her priority is to understand why and then, you know, try to meet people where they're at. So as one example, she told me about a resident who she met with who was not using her green bin at all. And the resident told her, you know, in the summer, I've tried and it attracts all these bugs and I just don't want that to be, you know, happening. I don't want that around my house. And so she told this resident, why not start by just doing it during the colder months? And the resident hadn't really thought of that as being an option. And after, you know, they discussed what that could look like, she said, sure, I'd give it a shot. And that's really what it's about for people like Marissa. It's not trying to be, you know, getting people to do this perfectly right away necessarily. I mean, if you can, that's great. But it's just getting people to start participating and see in action, you know, what this looks like and try to figure out the issues from there. And then there's another part that can get kind of difficult, and it's not even about the consumer. You know, when I looked at the facility when I was with Marissa, I saw that the composting process takes about 3 months. It's actually sped up because of all the technology they use at the facility. And that timeline works for things like food scraps, but it actually might not work for what we call, you know, compostable utensils and containers.
There are a lot of misconceptions about like biodegradable cups and plates and cutlery that while they claim to be green, it will come out of this process as a residual and end up back in a landfill. Because if you read the fine print, it takes 3 to 5 years for it to break down. This process is not even 90 days. And so we're really trying to change the dialogue about the importance of using paper products.
So it's complicated. You know, on the one hand, we want more people to participate. And on the other, we're still figuring out how to do this composting, you know, in the first place at the scale that we are committed to.
Yeah, it seems like there's like a disconnect behind labeling, you know, and advertising what something is used for, and then it actually, you know, the reality of it. In the last like 30 seconds or so we have, you know, how are officials tracking composting habits and amounts?
Yeah, so it's kind of difficult. I talked to Jessa David, who's a spokesperson for the city of Sacramento, and she said right now they don't really have an exact measurement of how much people are putting in their bins. You know, precipitation from like rain can add weight to, you know, someone's compost, someone's organic waste, and make it so that we don't really know exactly how much is what. But she did say that from some early assessments in 2022, they found an increase of 14% in organics tonnage being collected and a 10% decrease in garbage collected. So she didn't want to say for sure that's what it meant, but it might be an indication that we are seeing a bit of a shift.
Hopefully we're heading in the right direction. Thanks, yes. Manola. That is CAP Radio Environment reporter Manola Sakaita updating us on a state composting mandate that went into effect a year ago. And that is it for Insight today. You can learn more about our guests at capradio.org/insight. You can also subscribe to the Insight podcast. And if you want to email us, we're located at insight@capradio.org. Thank you to producer Sarit Lashinsky and managing editor Aram Sarkissian. Our digital producer and audio engineer is Chris Feltz. Insight's technical director is Mark Jones, and our show music is produced by Adrian Gilmore. I'm Vicki Gonzalez. Thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend. We'll catch you back here on Monday.